Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. I think you all know this is known as the resurrection chapter. And I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Let's go down to verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There is also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Here's our important verse right here. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So also is the resurrection of the dead. This chapter very plainly teaches ranks. And this seems to be something that very few in the church teach or even see. There are ones that they do see that there is difference in rewards, but they seem to not see the ranks that there is in the body of Christ. And, you know, it says in verse 23, every man in his own order. And that is a military term, which means ranks. And so different ranks in the resurrection is so plainly taught here. I don't see how anybody could deny it. And they differ one from another, just as men differ from animals and animals from one another and so on. And we need to consider this. If believers today have not equal victory over the world and over their own flesh, how can they experience the same kind of resurrection? Some lay a hold of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that speaking of being preserved blameless, and some do not lay a hold of that. Just as there are different kinds of flesh, so there are different degrees of Christian experience which necessitates different ranks or orders in the resurrection. So also is the resurrection of the dead, as we read there in verse 42. And there is no other meaning to God, it's God, the word, that is spoken by Paul here, there is no other meaning to the illustration of different kinds of seeds and of flesh. No other. Every man in his own order. Believers are finding their rank today. And we might say they are deliberately choosing their rank. They are refusing the first rank by denying a difference and then choosing a lower rank by their walk, by not walking close to the Lord. You know, it costs something to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and to renounce the world. It costs something. Some saints will go no further than that. They may go so far, but they really don't go so far. I think we all know that there's some people we know that they're saved, but that's it. They're barely saved. They don't even know the Word of God or look into the Word of God. And their walk, maybe sometimes you wouldn't know they were believers by their walk. And it costs more to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as they did on the day of Pentecost with the sign of tongues. I don't know why that is so looked down upon by many believers, is being filled and speaking and knowing you're filled by speaking in tongues. It's something that they look down upon. And I've even heard one say, I'm not sure they were believers or not, but to say, well, that's for the ignorant. You know, only the ignorant go that way. And yet some saints go no further if they do receive the Holy Spirit. Some do not even walk in the power of the Spirit which they received. That's sad, but it's true. And then some get carried away with their gifts that they have received from the Holy Spirit, and they become lifted up with pride, and so they never grow in their Christian experience. It costs still more to accept Paul's message of absolute grace, because when the truth deepens, the circle certainly does narrow. The flesh doesn't like the message of grace because it leaves the flesh with nothing to pay. And, well, we know all the expenses of salvation were paid for by Christ's death on the cross. But, you know, the flesh wants credit for doing something. They want to do something. So the truth of grace is unsavory to many. Some accept the initial truth of grace, and yet they go no further. They do not grow in grace, as we are admonished in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Such growth makes the flesh retire. For the new man, the inner man, grows in spirituality. There should be growth in our Christian lives and Christian experience. There should be progress. There should be a going on to maturity in Christ. If believers die in babyhood, they will be raised in babyhood. Some saints imagine that because they believe in absolute grace, that they will reign conjointly with Christ in glory. And I know from contacts that I have had through the years that some believe, even though they know that Christ, that we're on a race course to win Christ as bridegroom, and we want to be in that number that is his bride, they think that the knowledge of it, because they know it and some others don't know it, that automatically qualifies them. That's not true. I hate to tell them because there's so many, but that's not true. Just the knowledge of it is not qualifications. No matter what their walk may be, they think, because I know that, I'm going to be in that number. Well, it's all of grace. The provision, the offer, but we must lay hold of the offer. Just as the trees may bend with luscious fruit, it does us no good unless we take it. If we take it. Remember the bleeding woman who pressured her way through the crowd? Yes, there was such a crowd around Jesus, and she had to press her way through just to touch the healer, Jesus. And it was only then that the hemorrhage stopped. Accordingly, there must be a pressing on to full development. Not being satisfied where we're at, or trying to live on past experiences. This means denying self. This means suffering. This means sacrifice. So it costs something. And so many do not go that way. But what are we told in 1 Timothy 6:12? Fight the good fight of faith. And if we don't, we're going to miss the mark. Even Paul said that, that he didn't want to be disapproved. By experience, we learn the subtlety, the tricks of our own flesh. I bet you thought I was going to say Satan. But there is our own flesh. And that causes us trouble. So we begin to count with God, as we read in Romans, the 6th chapter. I don't want to read that whole chapter. I think that you have been coming and studying the word together with us. You know that it says how God reckons, and it says, likewise, reckon ye also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ. Yes, Romans, the 6th chapter, a very important chapter for in our growth. Reckoning Christ as our life and gaining the victory over our own flesh. Every step forward narrows the circle of friends. It separates us more from this world, and it is making us strangely peculiar. Titus 2:14, I think I'll read it. Titus 2:14. Titus, what did I say? Okay, Titus 2:14. I thought maybe I said the wrong book. I've been known to do that. yes, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, this means peculiarly his, peculiarly people of his possession. But you know, this arouses Satan against us. For we are going on and we are growing. And he, of course, tries to hinder us. We read in Ephesians 2:6 that we have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we're still moving on. It's in the heavenlies that our fight with Satan begins, when we take our place there. When we accept this offer of grace, which is our seat in the heavenlies, we do have a conflict that many other saints don't know about. They don't even know it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but having gained the victory over these, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians 6, and I think I'll just read verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, where? In high places, yes. We know very little of the wiles of the devil and of actual victory over him until by faith we claim our God-given place in the heavenlies. It is a real conflict that results in a wider separation, you might say, as I said before, the circle narrows. There's a separation between legal and grace saints. Yes. Yes. Some will draw back, not able to take the criticism. And so the journey becomes lonely. But the assurance gained is joy unspeakable. We don't want to forget that. Let's go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. I think I will begin reading with verse 3 and read down through 8. I just want really the 8th verse, but I've got to read all this. Blessed be the God and Father. This is 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, here's the faith, see? Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. We're living on the hallelujah side. Oh, you know, it's then that we begin to see as God sees. We begin to feel as God feels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What is so sad that some saw their privileges and yet they turned away. It is a sadness. Not because they saw differently, but because they weren't willing to suffer the loss of all things. Like we read of Paul in Philippians 3. He suffered the loss of all things that he might win Christ. Well, are we willing to go to that place? Suffer all things that we might win Christ. Oh, it's not the loss of salvation, but the best inheritance. Praise the Lord, the best. There is a goal, and it is not our standing. We don't obtain a standing by running, but by believing. Simple faith, Christ in Christ's completed work, when he said, "It is finished," and we believe in his death and resurrection, we have a standing before God in Christ. Our standing is in Christ. That standing guarantees a resurrection. But there is a better resurrection, an out resurrection. And it depends not upon our standing, but upon our state. Philippians 3:11. Paul sought by all means to bring his state up to his standing, that he might win Christ. I'd like to read that third chapter of Philippians, but I don't think I'll take the time. Well, let's turn there. We got to Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians, the third chapter. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. Paul says, you know, he already said in 8, well, I got to read 8. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, as refuge, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead," is how it reads in King James. But you look up the Greek, and it's out from among the believing dead. There is a better resurrection. Out from among the believing dead. In other words, other believers. Yes. And we want to bring our state up to our standing in order to reach that out resurrection from among the believing dead. All believers have part in the first resurrection. I think you all know that. Remember our study in Revelation, the first resurrection? It's the ranks and so on, and we won't go into all that. We even had a chart of it. All believers have part of the first resurrection, but suffering with him obtains a better resurrection. So the out resurrection is the goal where the prize is reached. Of course, there will also be an out translation. We've been speaking of being resurrected, you know, but there's going to be an out translation of those that are alive. We've been speaking about the dead, hadn't we? Well, we got to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Yes. Yes, 1 Thessalonians. What did I say? Oh, 1 Thessalonians. See, I told you, I've been known to do that. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. And I think I'll read at least verses 15 through 17, but then, oh, we can't leave out 18. Verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Doesn't that give you an assurance right there? Yes. "We say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven I like that himself. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Glory! Hallelujah! Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're living in a day that we can lay a hold by faith and say, I want to be of those that are translated. Yes. Amen. Now, we know that if not, we go by the way of the grave, but you know, the dead shall rise first. But praise the Lord. Oh, to be translated. Wow. And you know, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Now I want 1 Corinthians. We go back to our chapter. If I can turn the pages. I can't seem to turn them. Let's go back to this 15th chapter. And let's read verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We shall all be changed. But only those that run for the prize can hope to have bodies radiating the greater glory. As we read there, the glory, the different glories, as we read in the earlier part of this chapter. Okay, let's see if I have any more here. Well, I won't think we'll turn there, but I will refer you to Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we do so. May we look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Trust him to bring down all rule and power and authority in me. Yes. In me. Doesn't the prospect of reigning conjointly with Christ just simply amaze you? It should, shouldn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, I think we might have another lesson on the different ranks when they arrive in heaven. And I know I've spoken on it before from Book of Revelation, but we may touch on it again. You know, some of these things we may have known before, but you know, everything that in the Word of God we need to... What's a word I want to
refresh ourselves.
Yes, refresh ourselves with those truths so that they're real and living and burning within us. Praise the Lord. And we need this in our daily walk. And so some of these truths that we cover again and again, there's a good reason for it. A good reason.
Just like God's word repeats.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. We do.